Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I have no idea, folks. Gremlins in the system today. Anyway, welcome. As I was saying, welcome to those of you online through the Blaze as well. Obviously, we would have a major technical screw up the day we decide to do live streaming with our friends at the Blaze. In any event, the phone number 404-872-0750-1800 WSB Talk. It's now 11 after the hour, 2 minutes later than when we actually started the show, but we got a Clark Howard promo. Okay, so let's get into this Hamilton nonsense. Mike Pence and his family, they go to see the play Hamilton in New York City. And the crowd boos Mike Pence. Now, y'all, what does it say about the... now the boss thinks I was passive aggressive at 509. No, somebody screwed up the board. In any event, what does it say about a crowd of people in New York that someone goes to give them money to see a play and they boo the attendee? They boo an attendee just because he's the future vice president of the United States. He's not even elected yet. And then, of course, very smugly, one of the actors decides that he's going to lecture Mike Pence, express the hopes and fears of people. Now, this gets back to something I said last week. So last weekend on Saturday Night Live, we'll get into the bubble here later, but last weekend on Saturday Night Live, they have a skit where it is the actress, the comedian who plays Hillary Clinton, who sings Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, and does it as if she's Hillary Clinton and essentially acknowledging that the country rejected her because she's too good. And NPR and Entertainment Weekly and The Hollywood Reporter and Variety, they all say, it spoke to the nation. No, it didn't. It spoke to Hillary Clinton voters who are not the nation. And so all of the media hubbub about the Hamilton cast and crew is, they spoke for the nation. No, they didn't. They spoke for butthurt Hillary Clinton supporters who lost. And not only that, it's really, obviously, abundantly clear that they have no idea who Alexander Hamilton is, the very man whose play they're in. This entire play is about Alexander Hamilton. And all of these people are now celebrating Alexander Hamilton. My buddy Ben Dominich has been a longtime Alexander Hamilton fan. For Christmas several years ago, I asked Steve Pinley to paint him a portrait of Alexander Hamilton. He's that big a fan of Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was essentially a royalist. He wanted George Washington to be an aristocrat. He was extremely aristocratic. Some people say overcompensating for his own heritage. He came up with the idea and was the biggest defender of the Electoral College because he hated democracy. Alexander Hamilton was opposed to democracy. In fact, in Federalist 68, Alexander Hamilton writes that the Electoral College had the ability to ignore popular demands for a president. And of course, liberals today are all out citing Alexander Hamilton's Federalist paper, saying, look, the Electoral College, they should ignore Donald Trump. The people who peddle democracy suddenly, conveniently want to ignore democracy. And by the way, we're a republic. We are a representative democracy. We are not a direct democracy, but we are a republican form of government in that we don't have a monarchy or a dictator. We have democratic tenets within our republic, but no, we are not Athens. We are not a direct democracy. In fact, the founders of this country understood and appreciated that direct democracy was a bad thing. Why? Because you could have some douchey actors on stage telling you that you got to do something even though you won an election. who really cares about these pompous, overpaid actors on a Broadway stage lecturing a vice president of the United States? Although, you know, I do have to say, what's been delicious is in the last 48 hours, watching a bunch of people say, we're so focused on what they did at Hamilton, we're ignoring the real scandal. He's appointing a racist. Jeff Sessions is a racist. And everyone's so upset about Hamilton, they're not paying attention to Jeff Sessions. Oh, woe is me. People, first of all, there is a legitimate criticism there. If the left is going to highlight every absurdity and champion all sorts of stuff and behave badly, no one's going to pay attention to him. It's going to be another cry wolf. It's going to be a cry Hamilton moment. There is the potential in the Trump administration, if he does not relinquish business control and does not put things in a blind trust, there is a serious potential for conflict of interest. In fact, today it's been reported that when the Argentine president called to congratulate him on his election, he raised a business interest issue in Argentina to that president. He has a Trump property being developed in Argentina, and it's being delayed by government bureaucrats down there. Now, the president of Argentina has come out this afternoon and denied that it's the case only after every major news outlet in Argentina had reported it was so. And of course, the left is seized on this now. But as we see with Hamilton, they're going to seize on everything. Now, I do think that Trump needs to rethink the conflicts of interest and the divestments, because I think as long as he holds on to stuff, I mean, we saw the media try to do everything possible to avoid talking about the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's conflicts of interest. And the little bit that they did talk about it was enough to hurt her. They're not going to try to do their best to avoid talking about the Trump Foundation issues and the Trump Organization issues. They're going to make those the front page stories and the lead stories in every nightly newscast. So Trump's going to have to be on his A game at all time. He's going to need to walk back from these conflicts of interest. These stories don't help. They already play into a perception that the media is going overtime trying to portray. But the fact that the left wants to go on a stage and do this Hamilton nonsense to Mike Pence, a man who's not even yet elected vice president of the United States, and everyone falls all over themselves to praise the courage and bravery of the Hamilton guests talking truth to power. One, they weren't talking truth, they were talking idiocy. And two, talking truth to power, they're brave. They're in freaking New York City. The crowd was booing Mike Pence. There was nothing brave about it. Bravery would have been standing on stage congratulating Mike Pence on his lawful, fair election. But liberals can't do anything like that, can they? Because that would be being well-mannered and nice. And we're back in the days where dissent suddenly, again, isn't racist. It's patriotic.
Eric Erickson. He really does deliver behind-the-scenes information on today's big stories every day. 5 till 7, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Welcome back. Folks, it's Mattress Firm's Thanksgiving sale. Shop early for the biggest Black Friday deals in sleep. All mattresses are on sale. You can get store-wide savings up to $600 on the best brands like Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Serta, Beautyrest, Stearns & Foster, and more. You know, one-size mattresses don't fit all. At Mattress Firm, they're going to help you find the mattress that's right for you. You can get a Sealy Firm or a Hampton Roads Pillow Top Queen set for just $299.99 right now. And for a limited time, save up to $600 on select Tempur-Pedic mattress sets. If you haven't gone in to see Tempur-Pedic mattress sets, you should. My good Swedes have put together a mattress that so many other companies have basically done knockoffs of because it's that popular. You ought to go see the real thing because you can't beat the real thing. And at Mattress Firm, you can see it for yourself. They are the nation's number one retailer of Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And Tempur-Pedic also contributes to their custom collection along with Beautyrest and Stearns & Foster and several others. Right now, go in, check out their custom collection. You can get Mattress Firm bonus cash up to $300, good towards a free pillow, free mattress protector, and free frame. Yeah, you got to go check out the adjustable base frames at Mattress Firm. They're pretty cool. This is great savings, folks. Get on into Mattress Firm if you need a new mattress. Okay, Trump is going to meet now with the heads of the major media networks. The anchors are meeting with Trump on Monday, and of course, you can expect they're going to demand openness from Donald Trump. Also, there's a wild card meeting going on. Tulsi Gabbard. She is a left-wing Democrat from Hawaii. She resigned her Democratic National Committee post because she felt like they were stacking the deck against Bernie Sanders. She's a big Bernie Sanders supporter. And it looks like Steve Bannon is pushing Gabbard to be the Secretary of Defense because she is, though a socialist liberal, she is good on gun issues, being from rural Hawaii. She also was in the military. And he likes that. Rick Perry is also in the consideration for defense secretary, by the way, as well as several others, including energy and agriculture. We'll see how that shakes out. But these news executives now, over the weekend, the media was outraged that Donald Trump tweeted that the Hamilton cast needed to apologize. Why was the media outraged about Donald Trump doing what Donald Trump does? Here's the thing, and I think the liberals who are raising this criticism are actually right. That we're at a point, well, let's step back. Conservatives, let's just go ahead and admit it, even though the left doesn't like to admit it. Conservatives are at a disadvantage when it comes to dealing with the media because the media tends to be liberal. And so conservatives have to be on their A game, and they've got to have much more evidence of bias and whatnot in order to get the media to pay attention. That's just true. You may disagree with it, but it's true. Now, take that into consideration here and consider this. The left is doing what the right did for 8 years, and they've already started, and they're going beyond it. For 8 years, the right screamed about everything in the Obama administration, absolutely everything, down to Michelle Obama growing vegetables in the White House garden. And the result, their complaints fell on deaf ears. The left is doing the same, but they're going even beyond it. I'll tell you how when we come back. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. This just in, I mentioned before going to break, Trump was bringing the media in for a meeting, and the headline I read suggested it was next Monday. It was actually just a little while ago, and it looks like it was glorious. This is the New York Post breaking the news. President-elect Donald Trump exploded at media bigs in an off-the-record Trump Tower powwow late Monday, sources told The Post. It was like a blankety-blank firing squad, said one. Trump started with Jeff Zucker and said, "I hate your network. Everyone at CNN is a liar, and you should be ashamed." The meeting took place in a big boardroom. There were 30 to 40 people, including the big news anchors from all the networks. He called out Martha Raddatz, not by name, but ridiculed her for crying when Hillary Clinton lost as a show of bias. So Donald Trump just did what conservatives have been wanting someone to do for a very long time. I've got no problem with that. And of course, just like the Hamilton situation, liberals are already coming out saying, how dare they? How dare Donald Trump do that? How dare he intimidate the press? No, the left is okay intimidating the fire chief who's a Christian who wrote a book about his faith. The left is okay intimidating the baker who doesn't want to bake the cake. The left is fine intimidating the parents who don't want boys in their daughter's bathroom. The left is fine intimidating Christians. The left is fine intimidating conservatives. The left is fine intimidating conservative academics who disprove left-wing beliefs. But nope. You yell at a member of the press, the First Amendment is at stake. It's such hypocritical nonsense. It really makes you tire of the media. Now, I mentioned before going into break that the left is going overtime going into overdrive. More so than anything conservatives have ever done, the left is now targeting members of the Electoral College for harassment, browbeating members of the Electoral College, including here in Georgia. Members of the Electoral College who will be participating on December 19th voting for the president are being inundated with calls from people who are blasting the Electoral College members for daring to support Donald Trump. Here's the thing. Peter Beinart in The Atlantic. Peter Beinart is a liberal who he's gotten so many participation trophies for being a good liberal. He thinks he's better than he is when it comes to these sorts of things. And Beinart has a piece up in The Atlantic that the Electoral College is supposed to stop these sorts of abuses. And the Electoral College is supposed to stop men like Trump. And the Electoral College, it should stop men like Trump if the electors do their job and they don't vote for the tyrant. The tyrant who won the Electoral College. I got to tell you, the Electoral College's primary purpose was to dilute the strength of large states. In fact, I want to read you from Alexander Hamilton and what Hamilton wrote about the Electoral College. Key point here. The process of election affords a moral certainty that the office of president will never fall to the lot of any man who is not in an eminent degree endowed with the requisite qualifications. Talents for low intrigue and the little arts of popularity may alone suffice to elevate a man to the first honors in a single state, but it will require other talents and a different kind of merit to establish him in the esteem and confidence of the whole Union or of so considerable a portion of it as would be necessary to make him a successful candidate for the distinguished office of the President of the United States. It will not be too strong to say that there will be a constant probability of seeing the station filled with characters preeminent for ability and virtue. That was before the rise of social media. So even Hamilton notes that if you get a considerable portion of the country to go along with you, you can be president, and that's what Trump did in the Electoral College. Another point on this, but first let's go check with Doug Turnbull on 285. Thank you, sir. So here's the thing. The Electoral College has been reformed over time by progressives, by liberals. Originally, the members of the Electoral College, they didn't really care about the popular vote in their states. Originally, there was no popular vote in their states. Originally, it was party members. And then the Constitution expanded the franchise to white male property owners, and then it was expanded again to all white men. And then after the Civil War, it was expanded to black men as well. And then in the early 1900s, it was expanded to women. Then Jim Crow regressed it somewhat. But by the end of the 20th century, the vote was universal. Anyone over the age of 18 who wasn't a felon and is an American citizen can vote. And it was liberals who insisted that the Electoral College members be bound by the popular vote of their individual states. So Peter Beinart can write a column in The Atlantic and say that the Electoral College was designed to stop tyrants like Trump from getting the vote. And yes, partially that's true. But what he leaves out is that liberals like him agitated over a century to make the Electoral College bow to the will of the popular vote in individual states. So the things the Electoral College was bound to do, determined to do, or originated to do, it can no longer do because of a liberal agenda to enforce mass democracy. And so now we're in a situation where the designs of the left, when it comes to things like the Electoral College, well, you know what? Too bad. Can't happen. The thing that the Electoral College still does, though, and the original primary reason for the Electoral College, was to stop a group of effete coastal elites controlling who got elected president. The Electoral College was always and still is designed to force candidates for the presidency to focus on little states and big states and not just focus on major population centers. which is what the left wants. The left right now wants full-on democracy. They want full-on direct democracy because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. If Donald Trump won the popular vote, the left would still be telling the Electoral College members not to vote for him. This has nothing to do with principles. It has nothing to do with morality. It has to do everything with they can't get over the fact that they've just lost the Supreme Court for a generation.
The information you need. The truth you demand. Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson, WSB.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I did not watch the American Music Awards last night, but Green Day was there. If you remember back in 2004, Green Day, for those of you who don't know, Green Day is an alt-rock band. It had lots of success back in the day when I was in college. Every single graduation ceremony concluded with Time of Your Life, a Green Day song. And well, back in 2004, they finally came out as fully aggressively liberal against George W. Bush. They produced an album and a song called American Idiot, where they blasted the quote-unquote redneck agenda. They are metrosexual urban elite liberals. And last night at the Music Awards, of course, they had to get on stage and begin leading the crowd in a chant of no Trump, no KKK, no fascists. Here's the thing. Green Day is going to make a ton of money because of Donald Trump, and they know it. That's why they did what they did on stage last night. There's nothing pure in the hearts of the Green Day guys. They've been sitting on the sidelines since their American Idiot album against George W. Bush, not knowing what to do because they couldn't sing anything critical of their god Barack Obama. So now they can go out and they can start writing a new album where they blast Donald Trump and make tons of money. The election of Donald Trump is the best thing to happen to these guys, and they know it. They just can't admit it. And who really cares what a bunch of aging, older, middle-aged white guys think about Donald Trump when they're liberals to begin with? You know, and it's this liberalism. We're going to see this from Barack Obama. When we come back, I want to spend some time on this. Barack Obama is beginning to suggest to people that he's not going away, that there are people who need to stand up and be heard, and he wants them to be heard, and he's afraid they'll get ignored by evil, awful Donald Trump. Now, was anyone really surprised that he was thinking he wouldn't go away? I doubt it. Good evening. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. It is 6:10 on the Eastern Seaboard, dark out. It is, as we head to Thanksgiving. As always, you can go to theresurgent.com and get the latest news and updates there. And there's a story out that Barack Obama doesn't want to go away. Now, I got to tell you, my thinking has always been, and I've been very, very upfront, that I've rejected people who said President Obama wasn't going to leave the White House. If you remember, liberals said that about George Bush in 2008, and we've gone back and forth. In the year 2000, you had Republicans convinced that Bill Clinton and Al Gore weren't going to surrender the White House because of the way the election went, and they did. In 2008, you had liberals convinced that George W. Bush wasn't going to leave the White House, or Dick Cheney was going to move in and not get out. And Barack Obama moved in. And in the run-up to this election, there have been a lot of conservatives who have decried President Obama and claimed he wasn't going to give up, he wasn't going to leave, or he was going to force Michelle Obama to be president to get around term limits, or, you know, he's leaving. Except he's not. He intends to be the herpes of American presidents, I guess. The cold sore of American presidents. He's going to have a flare-up on the face of American politics. Every time he thinks Donald Trump is ignoring one of his pet causes, President Obama is telling friends that he's going to flare up. And then there's what's the medicine you use? The Abreva or whatever? There's nothing like that to put on Barack Obama to prevent his flare-up. But yet he wants to come back. He wants to be relevant. He wants to stand for truth. I mean, the man's a freaking community organizer. He doesn't know how to do anything else. I mean, that's what this is all about, is he's trying to find his way in the world. I mean, Barack Obama is a man who's never really had a real job outside of government in his life. He was a community organizer in his own books. He admitted he failed at that. He became a college professor, a lecturer on law school campuses. Wasn't very good at that. In fact, so memorable, there's not a single student of his who's ever come forward to praise him for being so awesome. And then he got into elected politics, and he's been in elected politics ever since. And he's leaving. He's still going to be fairly young. A buddy of mine just texted and said we can put some Preparation H on him. Yes, Preparation Hussein for Obama. Oh, I mean, the guy doesn't want to go away. There's some thoughts on this, but first, we got to step out real quick and check on some traffic. Thank you, sir. We have a history in this country where when a president retires, he goes away so that his successor can kind of feel their way in the world. When Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter is the one guy, and of course Barack Obama would be the next Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was the one guy who did. I got to tell you, so I have a friend of mine. And I got to be vague here because it would identify him because he's fairly famous. And that's not to name drop because I can't tell you who it is. It's just to set the parameters for why I have to dance around the story. He is a friend of mine who worked for Bill Clinton. And they all hate Jimmy Carter, history's greatest monster. They hate Jimmy Carter. The Clintons hate Jimmy Carter. The reason they hate Jimmy Carter, and you would note, by the way, that it was only when Barack Obama in 2008 secured the nomination, that's when the Democrats invited Jimmy Carter back in from the cold and celebrated him at the Democratic National Convention. They didn't do it during the Clinton years because Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton didn't like Jimmy Carter. It was the one thing they had completely in common with the Reagans and the Bushes. They didn't like Jimmy Carter. And the reason they didn't like Jimmy Carter is Jimmy Carter decided to insert himself in all the world's problems and use his Carter Presidential Library and Carter Center to try to stick his nose in the business people didn't want. In fact, I have it on pretty good authority that former President George H.W. Bush refers to Jimmy Carter as something extremely derogatory and doesn't say his name often, refers to him as this, and that Reagan did not care for him and that Clinton does not care for him. And here's the kicker. Obama doesn't much care for Jimmy Carter either because Carter can't keep his nose out of people's business. He's a busybody. And after being president, I mean, he's the world's worst ex-president. And now Barack Obama has decided to become the world's worst ex-president because of Trump. He doesn't really know what Donald Trump is doing. And by the way, his staff is pushing out stories that President Obama is so kind as he's winding things down and looking to build his presidential library. He's decided to spend time with Donald Trump and help Donald Trump learn how to be president. And the president was deeply horrified to learn that there were leaks from the White House about how much Donald Trump didn't even know when he came to visit the president about how the presidency works. Oh, give him a medal and a halo. Come on, people. This is all a setup. Barack Obama never had an intention of going away. If Hillary Clinton were president of the United States, Barack Obama would have no intention of going away. Barack Obama, he went on the world apology tour when he first became president, and now he's going to go on the world I'm awesome tour. And he'll probably go around the world and highlight climate change with Leonardo DiCaprio, forgetting that he was the man who said when he was elected that the oceans would begin to recede and the world would begin to heal because he was suddenly elected.
This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth.
And of course, he said that in Berlin, not in the original German. The oceans were receding and the world was healing when Barack Obama became president. That was his benchmark. And yet what? According to scientists, every year since, we've had record-breaking global warming. There's now this pity party story I read the other day that the beach in Miami is washing away and they have no sand to replace it because they have to use similarly situated sand. And if they don't use similarly situated sand, it can cause all sorts of other problems. And it's all Donald Trump's fault that he hasn't even gotten elected yet. This is what Barack Obama intends to do. He's going to be the herpes of American presidents. Every once in a while, there will be an Obama flare-up. Whenever he thinks Donald Trump is disrespecting someone, what is he going to do? On day one, the Republicans are planning on repealing Obamacare. And you know, that's the day that the old president, he has a little party with all of his staff. He climbs aboard Air Force Two because he's no longer the president and he flies home. Where is he going to go? He's going to stay in Washington, D.C. He's not going anywhere. Maybe he's going to circle the city in Air Force Two a couple of times. I'm still here. No, he is going to go away. And I actually think here's the kicker. If President Obama doesn't go away, if he decides to stay in the limelight, if he decides to be the man who holds Donald Trump accountable, you know what it does? It prevents the Democrats from moving on to find a new leader. It keeps him in the monopoly position of controlling the Democratic Party. And again, we just saw it was his coalition. It wasn't the Democratic Party's coalition. And if he's not willing to let it go, they're never going to beat the Republicans again.
Eric Erickson. He really does deliver behind-the-scenes information on today's big stories every day. 5 till 7, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. Believe it or not, tonight, the Georgia Bulldogs are playing the George Washington Colonials. And that's going to start here in, about 5 minutes. So I get to get off early and have dinner with the family at a reasonable hour. We had somebody on hold who wanted to ask a question. They didn't stay on. And at the same time, we had several people email, and it can't all be the same person because it came from multiple addresses, to say, what if Barack Obama decides to be the chairman of the DNC? That is actually possible. He could become the chairman of the DNC. Here's the problem, though, for Obama becoming the chairman of the DNC, is that there are now, because they're headed into the wilderness, there's a leadership vacuum. It is very hard for the party out of power to rally around one person. And what's going to happen when Barack Obama leaves office is the blame game is going to begin to look at him. Because objectively, it is true that the Democrats are in the worst position they've been in since post-Civil War Reconstruction. The Republicans now control so many state legislatures, governors, seats in Congress and the Senate, the White House now, the Supreme Court, they'll be able to secure it for conservatives. And this is Barack Obama's ultimate legacy. Just how bad he's been, destructive he's been for the Democratic Party. I suspect once he leaves and he's no longer the president and doesn't have the power of the presidency, you'll start to see Democrats turn on him. And they won't want him to be the chairman of the DNC. They're going to want someone else. Because, you know, you're also going to have the Elizabeth Warren fight. You're going to have the fight with the With the more moderate members of the DNC, you're already having the Tim Ryan versus Nancy Pelosi fight. Tim Ryan of Ohio, young versus old. You're seeing young liberals accuse Tim Ryan of misogyny for daring to stand up to Nancy Pelosi. That's how sexism begins. Some little feminist dude actually tweeted that. That's how sexism begins. For what? Standing up and wanting fresh faces and young faces? This is going to be fun to watch, folks. See you guys tomorrow.